Trouble on Roosevelt Avenue. This is BeelPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 28th of June, 2012. On this date in 1838, Queen Victoria was crowned. In 1880, the Australian Hellraiser Ned Kelly is captured. By the way, read The True History of the Kelly Gang by Peter Carey if you haven't, or his other awesome book, Bliss. In 1914, Franz Ferdinand, Archduke of Austria, and his wife were assassinated in Sarajevo by Gavrilo Princip, causing Germany to start worrying that Russia might be able to beat it in a war and causing the UK to start worrying about Belgian neutrality. In 1919, the Treaty of Versailles is signed, or more accurately, the ceasefire of Versailles. By the way, two interesting walkouts. Ho Chi Minh, who felt it wasn't fair that Europe got self-determination and Vietnam did not, and John Maynard Keynes, who said that it would lead to the financial collapse of Germany. They were both right. In 1940, Romania cedes Moldova to the Soviet Union. In 1967, Israel annexes East Jerusalem. And in 1969, the Stonewall Riots begin in New York City. If you don't know about the Stonewall Riots, get with it, man. And speaking of state of nature, Jean-Jacques Rousseau is 300 years old today. Today it's me, Cameron Christensen, and Matthias Uter, as well as me. Nothing we say should be taken to be said on behalf of any organization with which we may be affiliated, or to be accurate in any other representative way. Last Thursday, police seized 60,000 satellite dishes which belonged to Global TV. Police said the company was giving it out for free, and therefore it was vote-buying by Georgian Dream. Global TV is owned by Bidzina's brother and so far is the only cable company which airs Channel 9.
Right, but there are some problems with it. So first, it's owned by Bidzina's brother, not by Bidzina himself. Right. But there's a lot of companies that are owned by somebody who's closely affiliated with a party. And then another issue is that, you know, they didn't actually give out most of the dishes for free. They gave them with long-term subscriptions, and people would get the first year for free, and then from the second year they would pay, you know, several dollars a month. So it was technically... Yeah, but it was technically not really free, so there was kind of a business contract. But the Chamber of Control simply said, well, we don't believe that you're a business. You're just, you know, you're losing money. You don't want to make money. You're just there to serve the political interests of Ivanishvili. So that's why you're in trouble, basically.
But the Georgian Young Lawyers Association actually came out and said that it was illegal to seize them because they were only allowed to, apparently, according to Georgian law, you're only allowed to seize items if... there's some sort of, you know, direct threat to the state or something.
Public morality or something.
Yeah, or public morality.
No, if you can use something to basically... If there's a high sense that somebody will use something to, you know, commit a very severe crime, like, you can confiscate, you know...
Guns
or machetes, yeah. Because you would think that somebody goes out and tries to kill somebody with that.
Right.
But... A satellite dish is usually not committed for a very severe crime, so there's a question if that was actually legal to confiscate all these satellite dishes.
There was also something about the state of the case, because I thought that there was some investigation and that there actually hadn't been any sort of charges brought yet. That's
right. Yeah, it seemed like somebody probably just freaked out a little bit. I mean, certainly they were handing them out. From what I heard, they were quite popular. And the other thing I think I mentioned was that... you know, that they, at least from Emet Ethi, I heard that, you know, everybody really wants them, but anyone who's got a state position, if they get one, you know, a teacher or, a, you know, any position that is paid for by the state, that if they get a dish, people look at that fact and they get fired.
Business idea.
Yeah.
Somehow figure out how to hide.
Somebody can go along behind the Global TV truck and sell some little decorative, I don't know what.
Right. And you can also lose your social assistance if you have a satellite dish.
Yeah, exactly. There's a, you know, it's considered a luxury, and so it's, you know, there's evidently some concern about that. Yeah, Resonanzi mentioned that last, I think this past week. Then, following quick on the heels of that, amidst much wild criticism of the arrest and holding and pretrial detention of several thousand satellite dishes, was the initiated draft on must carry, must offer principles, which we will have the hardest working NGO, Transparency International, Georgia, expert in media affairs, Matthias Hüter, tell us what the, must carry, must offer means. Again.
So well, the day after the government seized the Global TV satellite dishes, they came out in a very surprising move and said, yeah, we're now thinking about including it in the election code, which means that it will be a temporary thing, a temporary regulation that will only be in place in the 60 days before the elections. So what it means is that any cable provider in Georgia will basically have to show in these 60 days all major stations, including the stations that are on satellite, so that's Maestro and Ivanishvili's ninth channel. Today, the discussion in parliament resulted in also a compromise that Kavkazia, which is only a local station in Tbilisi, will be must carry, and basically any other major station that has news, including all the channels of the public broadcaster.
And so all and must these. Offer?
Well, must offer. Is not, you know, it's must offer would be a relevant thing in the long term. It would require any station to allow any cable or satellite provider or, you know, any mobile phone company to show the signal to their customers so that a company could not say, no, I don't work with you. I only work with my buddies in the other company.
Right.
But the big problem right now with the law is that it will only be, it will end the day before the election. So on election day, must carry will no longer be in place. And that has raised some concerns.
Let's see what happens with that. I mean, right now it's going through first reading and they're doing it through emergency procedure, so it's happening very quickly. But
it will be passed tomorrow.
I mean, that's incredibly dangerous because, you know, that means that the whole counting period, then all of a sudden that if they decide to flip the switch, you know, that will not be covered. And it would be just really extremely unwise for them to do that. I mean, what I think the government is saying is that there are going to be, that Ivanishvili is planning all sorts of, you know, riots and demonstrations and whatever else. But if all of a sudden the government flips the switch on the public having any idea what's going on, the day before the election,
and rumors will start to spread.
Rumors will just go crazy, and I mean it's just a recipe for disaster. So
yeah.
If there's one, and particularly, I mean, if you look at their reasoning on it, what they've said before, the cinematographically lame excuse they had for not having this is that it's, you know, it somehow interferes with capitalism, and we don't want the state to be too involved in business, you know, because God knows the state's not involved in too many other sectors here. So that would be really dangerous. I hope they change their mind on that and then say, you know, wait till the parliament is seated or whatever else.
But what is remarkable about this idea is that it came from civil society and that, you know, all the NGOs worked very hard to kind of build pressure. And it's, I think, one of the very few cases where the government really said, okay, all right, we're going to do what you guys are saying.
Right.
Because, I mean, internationally it looks good. It hopefully will really make a difference before the elections.
And I think the U.S. Embassy pushed pretty hard on it, including Hillary Clinton, from what I heard. So that was, that's great.
I also wonder, though, about this day before the elections. That also coincides with electioneering, doesn't it? I mean, election day, there's no electioneering. Now, I'm wondering if there's any sort of argument that's being proposed or logic that's related to that.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying it's the campaigning period, and you're not allowed to, you know, have political ads on TV and campaign on election day. So they say that's why the regulation will end the day before the elections. And that's basically the only thing that they have not compromised on yet, at least.
Yeah, we'll see. There always seems to be some line by that. I mean, the other really important one that will have an enormous effect on the composition of parliament is the 30% threshold that we've talked about a lot before, but
that has been forgotten, basically.
That's been forgotten. It's not on the table anymore. But what that means is that the ruling party candidates are going to overwhelmingly win the majoritarian seats, which means they automatically get half of parliament, which means whatever proportional amount they get will be on top of that. So operationally, that's going to mean that you know, the most likely outcome is that, you know, there's that the government, you know, probably gets more and perhaps significantly more votes than, you know, than Ivanishvili. But they have a constitutional majority without getting a constitutional majority percentage of seats. And everyone's going to find that very annoying. And so even if everything is done sort of according to the law, you know, people will feel that that's unfair and that it'll be a real destabilizer. So, I think these kind of, you know, things like this, that are changed the 30% threshold to 50%, or they were, you know, to say must carry, must offer is just the way it works here now. That would be, that would be the way to do it.
I mean, there's one backdoor that they have kept open in discussion so far is that they said, well, if we have a runoff, you know, we could keep it for the runoff as well. So that would mean, you know, then you can say, is this practical? You know, like, can we have it in some districts? And I mean, I don't know if that really works. But so they still have that back door open where they say, okay, let's keep it in place until the official results are announced. Maybe, because there will be runoffs in some districts, hopefully.
We'll see.
I think, you know, also just to kind of look at some data related to this, you can refer back to crrc.ge/ODA and see the most recent Cox's barometer from 2011. And you'd see, you know, some what the Georgian public's attitude is towards democracy and whether or not Georgia is currently democracy moving in the right direction, you know, and attitudes towards freedom of speech and media and how it's being protected. You know, it'd be really interesting to, I'm not sure that there's going to be nothing related to Muscari, of course, because the data's, you know, old or was gathered, you know, previously. But nonetheless, I think it's an interesting tie-in.
Right. But there was a poll last year that, you know, where 50% of all people nationwide said they would be interested in watching Kafkasia, and 45% said they would be interested in watching Maestro. So you can see that there's really a lot of, you know, demand for these sources of information, or there's a significant interest. And at the same time, you know, maximum 30% of the people right now have access to you know, Kafkasia or Maestro.
Right. And that's only in Tbilisi, which in some ways politically, if you hear the government talk, is sort of a bit of a write-off. You know, right. They're worried much more about the races outside of Tbilisi. And, of course, that's where there's a lot more of the reports of intimidation, people getting fired, this and that.
Right. And that's where, for example, last week in Mereti, the beating.
Right, exactly. Well, okay, we'll cover that. Now, listen, during the campaign rally of Georgian Dream in the village of Mereti, close to Gori, a group of people got involved in a fistfight. Two people, both supporters of Ivanishvili, including a young woman, were taken to the hospital for treatment. Civil.ge reports that when Bidzina arrived at the campaign, a middle-aged man approached him, asking, "Where were you during the war?" with Russia referring to Bidzina and his allies. Then Ivanishvili himself approached a group of women standing nearby, and one of them told him, "I consider you to be a traitor to Georgia. Putin instructed you to stir up turmoil in Georgia." Another one told him, "Saakashvili is not only president, but he is our god, too." As Bidzina was talking to this group of women, a fist fight erupted several meters away. Local villagers who supported Ivanishvili said that the fight was provoked by ruling party supporters, including employees of local government agencies. Gori Regional Court sentenced the four detainees from the incident in Village Mereti to 10 days of administrative imprisonment, according to Interpress News. Two out of the four detainees were activists of the Georgian Dream. On Wednesday, the 27th of June, the Interagency Commission for Free and Fair Elections at the National Security Council of Georgia, or the Bokeria Commission, released a statement condemning violence regarding political opponents. Okay, the ombudsman said he's looking into the case after amateur videos were released by local media outlets showing that people working for the local government in Gori and for the Ministry of Interior's Emergency Situation Service were involved in the fight.
Were they taking time off?
I don't know, like in Florida in 2000. Bidzina will have his next campaign rally in Mtskheta on the 1st of July. Georgian authorities have seized Ivanishvili's shares in two Tbilisi-based banks after he refused to pay $45 million fine. The National Bureau of Enforcement seized 100% of his shares in Kartu Bank and 21.7% of the shares in Progress Bank, which he supposedly owned. president of Kartu Bank, Nodar Javakhashvili, says that it doesn't make sense to seize Kartu Bank's shares since Ivanishvili doesn't own any of them.
Yeah, I think he, in the past few weeks, he basically moved all his assets that he had to his son or sons, and so technically he's no longer the owner. Mm-hmm. The Kartu Group, I think, was always an offshore entity, but banks in Georgia, you have to disclose the beneficiary owners of banks to the national bank. And so if you look at the disclosure of the Kartu Bank and the Progress Bank, you will see, you know, Bidzina Ivanishvili is the beneficiary owner of these two banks. But apparently in the past few days, he moved the assets to his son as well and didn't report it to the national bank in time or something like that. So that gave them the possibility to say, no, we don't know that it's no longer yours, so we're going to take it anyways.
I had actually read that happened in the beginning of May. Not just a couple days ago. But
yeah, but these are quarterly reports to the national bank, so maybe they haven't filed their second quarter report or something like that. I don't know.
Interesting. Tina Kochidashvili from the Republican Party said that seized property exceeds the amount of the fine. That's a lot of seized property. Apparently, the transfer of ownership of Kartu Bank from Ivanishvili to Javakhashvili was not registered with the national bank, as Matthias just said, according to the regulations. So Ivanishvili still is the owner. At least that's what the National Execution Agency said. Rustavi Ody reports that two members of the coalition, Georgian Dream, have been arrested with the charges of misuse of authority. Reportedly, the head of the Abkhazian youth branch of the coalition, Irakli Pertanava, and the executive secretary of the Abkhazian branch of the Free Democratic Party, Zura Pipia, were negotiating with officers of the Counterintelligence Department of the Interior Ministry, Kakhabagaturia, trying to win him over in order to get more information about the work of the Interior Ministry, ongoing operative searching operations. The two promised financial and security guarantees to the officers. Ministry of Interior released the secret recordings of the dialogue among the suspects and the officer today. In one of the videos, Bagaturia tells the opposition activists that the ministry has imported special listening devices which can be installed in things like lighters and belts.
Wait, was it the ministry told him that they had that? Or was it, I thought it was that the party, that these two people that were supposedly
I understand that the ministry officials said that. You know,
yeah,
the belt mics for talking to midgets and, you know, and that sort of thing. You know, who knows? I don't know. So it's not entrapment, you know, that it's like,
right.
they're...
Right. They were arrested for misuse of power, which is a little bit weird if they're just party activists. But
they were former employees, intelligence agencies.
So there's you know, the hidden video, the secret camera shots are all on the police.ge website. And it's interesting that the opposition has the Abkhaz branches. I find that very interesting.
Well, a lot of refugees, man. I mean, the
IDPs.
IDPs. IDPs waiting to be organized, you know, which has never really happened. All political forces seeming to be nervous about them. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that according to opposition authorities, 50 cops were fired because of their political views. The Interior Ministry denies it and said the policemen left because they refused to go along with the internal reform processes. Press conference organized by the Komagi Foundation a few days ago. Who's Komagi Foundation?
They're the guys who said we're going to pay anybody who is a victim of political oppression.
Right. Okay.
And then they were shut down
right.
because the opposition endorsed them. And then they said, you know, you are basically part of Ivanishvili. They opened a new bank account. And immediately before doing anything, the bank account was seized again and shut down.
But they've been spray painting their sign, their symbol, which is like a sparrow and Komagi, all over, like every kind of, every block you see it.
Anyway, according to Komagi, several policemen said that they suspect that their being fired was politically motivated. And I've heard the same things from, from people who know about those things.
What is this internal kind of mix-up that they're doing within the police? What's this reform? Or
it's the reform to fire the people that whose loyalty is suspicious. That's what it's the reform of.
I see.
I mean, there seems to be, you know, there seems to be a lot of firing going around is what there seems to be a lot of. Misha is in Brussels talking about free trade agreement, among other things. He met with EU Neighborhood Commissioner Stefan Füle, who will be in Tbilisi, I think, in a few weeks. He said that the EU is increasingly concerned about growing political tensions and polarization in the run-up to the parliamentary elections. Misha also met with EU Foreign Policy Chief Cathy Ashton, EU Energy Commissioner Günther Oettinger, Oettinger, European Commissioner for Development Andres Piebalgs. And President, what is this like? Are these real Europeans? These names are too European. I mean, these couldn't be. These are like, you know, okay. I don't know. These are like sort of
one person per country.
All right. And President of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, Misha encouraged him to move the European Parliament to Munich. Just kidding. Civil.ge reports that the Tbilisi City Court approved a decision by the state audit agency to fine Ivanishvili-led opposition coalition Georgian Dream with $2.4 million. The penalty is twice as much as the Georgian Dream's coalition's total donations for the first 6 months of this year.
And this is because of this LLC, right? Because of the renovation that was done? And so they're saying that the renovation that was done in, what, like March or something, and then these parties joined the coalition, and then they're saying that because of this renovation, this was...
I mean, they said they got, you know, like almost 400, you know, or 500,000 lari of in-kind contributions. And so they're putting the fine at, I think, five times the, you know, services or, you know, donations received that were in-kind donations.
Right. The political parties have reacted quite strongly, saying that they're completely unable to pay anything related to that number.
Yeah, but that is the problem with, you know, these huge fines, that if it ruins a smaller opposition party. I mean, if they're trying to raise just money from, you know, individuals, because that's the only way they're allowed to raise money. I mean, how are they going to raise
that
money? But
has any smaller party been hit? Are there any smaller parties anymore? What are they, the laborists? Have the laborists been hit with anything?
No,
No smaller parties exist, really. I mean,
well, you have the Bourgeois Nazi Interpeople are still around. You have some of the crazy national. I mean,
but is Bourgeois Nazi party really still around? I mean, has anybody heard absolutely anything?
She
was
at the Tbilisi
rally. Yesterday.
Yeah. Wow, what? It's a hairstylist?
I'm pretty sure she was, actually.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, a lot of time there. Well,
you know what I would really love to see, and I don't know if anyone's doing it? I'd love to see a comparison of the fines and how much money is being, you know, charged to each party.
Can't we just say this? I mean, the whole point is he's got billions. The government is very worried about that. And, you know, reasonable to, you know... as an American, I can say that what money does to politics is not a pretty thing for, you know, a country's democracy. And they're nervous about that. And so they're passing a bunch of laws to make it impossible for him to spend all his gazillions.
Right. But, I mean, he knows that. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably got some legal advisor who's telling him that those things are illegal. And so what's his plan? Is he just like,
he's
you
just
know, I've got
spending,
$5.5 billion, so, like, you guys are going to, I mean, I'm going to spend,
know,
I've got, there's
spend.
A certain amount of money that
know.
I'm, I mean, like, it's a casino thing, you know? Like, I go in, I've got a billion that I'll let go, and then, you know, after that. And
we'll see what happens. Yeah. And then another billion. Who knows? I mean, I just, the thing of it is that the government is spending so much money itself, but, you know, it's not campaigning. It's our summer jobs policy and our insurance policy
and our computers to
10th graders policy and our whatever policy, you know. And so it's like, this is just the state policy, so what's the problem, you know. And so I don't know how you deal with that fact. Okay, simple.
I think they've gotten $1 million already in donations as well.
The ruling party?
Yeah, I just saw that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would assume that there are some, you know, people who run big businesses who feel compelled
donation. Yeah, compelled by the feelings of their heart.
Let the power of the what compel you?
Right, yeah, exactly. Civil.ge reports that Tbilisi City Court approved a decision by the state audit agency head of Akhmeta office of the political coalition Georgian Dream, Zakaria Kinkladze, has been sentenced to 25-day administrative imprisonment for insulting verbally an employee of the Akhmeta municipality.
That's really amazing, because
better,
how much insulting happens here on the streets.
Better get him in jail for 25 days. Show who's who. Again, Civil.ge reports that on the 25th of June, Misha stated that the ongoing attempts to, quote, buy the electoral process, as well as, quote, impudent aggression, end quote, against Georgian democracy will be, quote, punished with the full force of the law, end quote.
And it, you can't punish it with the full force of the law, because we all know that Bidzina has, you know, bankrolled thousands of people.
Right.
And is probably still doing that with, you know, people in his region,
the
artists,
church.
The church. I mean, are they going to go against the 200 priests and the patriarch who flew to Paris recently? No.
Right.
There's not going to be the full force of the law. And they can't do it because they can't arrest, you know, thousands of people for, you know, taking
for
money.
Receiving money.
Yeah.
The de facto foreign minister of Abkhazia,
Vyacheslav
Chirikba, made a statement last week saying, quote, the Abkhazian party needs pragmatic interlocutors like Bidzina Ivanishvili and Irakli Alassania for dialogue with Georgia, end quote. For several months in 2006, Alassania served as Tbilisi's negotiator for Abkhaz issues in the capacity when he worked for President Saakashvili. So what's the deal with Mr. Vyacheslav, like, trying to get Misha elected here? Like, why would he, you know, say, I mean, it's a reasonable thing to say, but
wait,
during
trying
election
to get
campaign,
Bidzina elected?
No, Misha.
I mean, what? By saying, like, you know, if
Bidzina is our guy, basically.
Yeah, basically saying, you know, we can, you know, official Abkhaz saying, yeah, we can deal with Alassani and Bidzina.
You're thinking that he's using reverse psychology here?
Call me crazy. This seems to be the land of reverse psychology. I don't know. Yes, I'm saying that. You naive Americans. I mean, come on, you know? Civil.ge has an extensive interview with Foreign Minister Grigol Vashadze, where he talked about Georgia's relations with Iran, Russian military training. It's quite interesting. NATO ascension prospects, stuff like that. Take a look. Misha said that he thinks that Georgia will join NATO in 2014, and that the free trade agreement will take 16 to 18 months.
With a lot of Misha quotes this week. I think we're becoming a national media outlet.
Exactly.
Well, no. I'm sorry. I added those two in because I thought that was pretty interesting. First off, that relates to the fuel thing, you know, the fool or whatever his name is. That, you know, he returns from there and says, you know, 16 to 18 months, and we're going to have a, you know, deep and comprehensive free trade agreement with the European Union. I mean, this has been a long... all these processes have been going on for a long time. NATO, I remember in the day, 2008, Georgia was going to be in NATO in 2008. You don't remember?
I totally remember. But, okay, now wait a minute. I think there's two different things.
Yeah.
Georgia is not going to be in NATO in 2014. You heard it here first, you know, on tbilpod.com. Georgia is not going to be in NATO. And it's probably not going to have MAP by 2014. And that's fine, you know.
No, but I mean, this is what he's telling the public.
Well, okay.
He continues to do this over and over.
And that's, you know, that's bad that a politician is making unrealistic promises before an election.
And it's unbelievable.
Just, you know, but 16 to 18 months, you know,
for the free trade agreement.
For the DCFTA, I mean, this is a relatively new process. I wouldn't say it's moving briskly, but it's moving along. I mean, I think that's within the realm of reason. Okay, maybe it's going to be 2 years. But, you know, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I think the more important question is, what's the agreement going to look like, and what's it going to mean for Georgia? How much is it going to cost? I mean, what'll be the agreement? But I don't think it's going to be it's going to mean an avalanche of, you know, European cash coming into Georgia or whatever else. I also don't think it's going to cost Georgian businesses umpteen gazillion dollars immediately to try and
Open up some new export opportunities.
Absolutely,
for
it's good. The DCFTA would be a great thing, and I think that's a reasonable time period.
But I think it's basically the only carrot that the EU has at the moment, other than money to give to Georgia.
Right, and there's so much of that sloshing around Europe.
Right, yeah. There's all these meetings where all the prime ministers meet. How can we spend all the money we don't have?
Right. Yeah. Public defender addressed the chief prosecutor to start investigation on mass violation of human rights and of prisoners in the new prison in Kisani. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that on Tuesday... some people demonstrated against ongoing torture in the country's prisons. 140 prisoners died in prison during 2011. 40% of them had injuries.
Meanwhile, they've opened yet another one of those reception areas to facilitate family members visiting their imprisoned relatives so that they, and they have professionally trained staff so that they can provide services to those relatives who are trying to visit their imprisoned family members.
Good, good. National examination of Georgian grammar and literature started today. Let's see how the process goes after the big scandal around Mimi Noshvili's firing, who's the former head of teacher.
The National Assessment and Examination
National Assessment
Center.
The Ministry of Justice got a UN award for approving its public service. Georgia is the first country of the former Soviet Union which has received such recognition. The U.S., Canada, Japan, Germany, Sweden, and the Netherlands have similar awards. Georgia's electronic government procurement system, run by the State Procurement Agency, came in second place in the category of preventing and combating corruption in the public service. The SMS information system of Turkey's Ministry of Justice was a first place winner in the same category and in the same region. Georgian Ministry of Justice Public Service Hall shared second place award with Egypt in the category of improving the delivery of public services, but were beat out by Lebanon.
Ooh. By the way, this is done regionally, so there's actually five regions. So Georgia's in a category, like the East Asia category, I believe.
Fairly low standards. But nonetheless, the e-procurement system is really, really good. I mean, that's one of the big things they did to improve. Now we can actually look up who, nobody does it, unfortunately, but we can see who gets all the contracts.
Yeah.
And who bids on how many contracts and,
which is great, man, which is great. That really is a huge step forward. And tell me if I'm wrong, but my sense is they're improving it. I mean, it started out good and they're trying to make it better. We'll see if they do, but we'll see if we can increase the number of people bidding on various contracts, because there's still a perception that
that's the problem, because there's usually one or two companies bidding, and so you can just write, the requirements for a contract so that basically one company will bid and win and pay the full amount rather than bid the price down.
The Deputy Secretary of NATO, Alexander Vershbo, is in Georgia, just spoke at the university this afternoon. He will take part in Defense and Security Conference in Batumi.
And Donny Rumsfeld was also around.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Rumsfeld was in town for the whole week doing I'm not really sure what. He didn't really make any public lectures, which is too bad, because I would have liked to have,
heckled, maybe?
With air quotes, asked some questions, right after his lecture, where they're like, any questions? And shooting my hand up, going, was not given that opportunity. Yeah.
But he probably has a good fan base here, don't you think?
Absolutely.
If there's one place
he could go where there would be some people who would be, nice to him, I'm sure this is it. There's a delegation from the National Democratic Institute, or NDI, as it's known among the cognoscenti, visiting Georgia. They're doing a pre-election assessment mission. They're going to say something on Friday. It includes Robin Carnahan, the Secretary of State of Missouri, Per Eklund, who's head of the EU here for a while, Ken Wallach, the president of NDI, as well as Sam Gageson, the former head of the International Relations Committee in the U.S. House, who's from Connecticut and was my congressman in college, by the way.
I didn't know that Missouri had a Secretary of State.
Yes. I think a Secretary of State means something a little bit different, but she comes from an old and important Missouri political family. Let's see what they have to say tomorrow. The Tbilisi Sea is moving to the zoo. Sorry.
That is exactly right.
The Tbilisi Zoo is moving to the Tbilisi Sea.
Yeah, so apparently there was this article in an architecture magazine where this British company will be handling the construction of the zoo. And, for people who have seen what's happened in that area, it's basically been sandwiched in between a number of highways. And I don't think that the zoo has been in a very good condition for probably the last, at least 20 years. So the fact that they're taking care of you know, providing actual space for the animals. And I think would be great. The article, of course, was not much about that. It was more about not ruining the natural environment in the Tbilisi area, which is also a very, very nice place that is probably somewhat undervisited.
Yeah. I think a few years ago there was the rumor that Ivanishvili was going to pay for the relocation of the zoo for some reason, but that never happened. So right. The zoo is now surrounded by all this new roads and construction, and it's really not a good place for a zoo anymore.
Well, they're supposed, Central Park is the term that's used, that whatever the zoo is now, they're going to turn into Central Park. I mean, the problem is that parks are usually places that people walk to, and it is now completely impossible to walk anywhere near Hero Square because it is now a giant tangled entity designed for cars and not for people walking. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen
there. I'm not even sure it's designed for cars.
Yeah, I don't know what it's designed for, actually. I'm some kind of, I don't know, for like Vietnamese motor scooters or something. But yeah, it's...
Tuk-tuks.
Yeah, something. Great news. A new gambling TV channel is on the air in Tbilisi. All right, Play TV, which shows mostly poker tournaments, took over the license from ICTV, something that nobody had ever heard of that had the license before. It was owned by Josip Geladze and has been involved somehow with Elite Electronics, which is a retail chain that was taken over pretty coercively by the government 3 years ago and then sold on to who knows who.
It's somebody big.
They've been very profitable. The guy was very ticked off, and it was one of these sort of criminal tax things. Somebody gets thrown in jail for a while till they say, "Okay, you can have my company." Play TV is owned by the same people as Imedi TV. Most importantly, Gheorghe Arveladze, formerly, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he chief of staff?
Minister of Economy.
Wasn't he the head of the party for a while? Wasn't he head of the national
maybe
movement?
Maybe, but I looked it up recently.
Oh, he was maybe the youth movement.
Yeah, but he was also the guy who announced the state of emergency in 2007, which, you know, was used also to shut down Imedi, and after that, he took over
Imedi.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
I literally met him in a Chinese restaurant that day.
What, the one by Babylon that he would always
hang out? New Asia.
Okay.
No, but on Civil GE, he declared the state of emergency.
That's weird.
On TV, maybe.
So yeah. Now it's Play TV.
Because
now,
he wasn't even involved, he wasn't even a part of the government at that time.
He was Minister of Economy.
Well, he
no,
was,
not at that time.
He was very, very, you know, inner circle during that period. Now, Media.ge reports that the casino at Jara told them that they run pay TV, which could mean that that Arveladze is involved in that as well, although I think it's actually Ugulava, who'd done a lot of business in Sierra Leone, who's actually the one who owns Casino Ajada and whatever else.
There's a Jara bet, and then there's
the second most visited site in Georgia and all that.
And now, during the football Euro, if you walk around, there's a Jara bet everywhere. I mean, they basically own the city at the moment.
There's one of those places, like those, you know, have like so many people waiting around out front.
Something that really hurts, I think, Georgian society. I mean, how many people gamble their fortune, or I mean their tiny fortune away in these websites and casinos?
Well, you might not remember also when there used to be all those little slot clubs all over the city, and then they made the taxation, you know, so high that they got rid of them. And
well, there's still a lot of slot clubs around. I mean, I think
there were
tons, but then they increased the tax, but there's still a lot of them.
I mean, the
thing about gambling is, and I actually wrote about this in my column now in Fides Balitra and in English,
the Georgian Journal. The most entertaining weekly news.
Easy there, Tiger. Don't be dissing my paper. But just a couple of weeks ago, I read about that. Is that, like, you know, essentially what gambling is a transfer mechanism of money from the not so educated to the super rich. I don't know if that's such a useful thing for Georgia right now. But
like the lottery being the tax for the stupid.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, you know. Misha says there's no risk that Bhagirathi Cathedral will be removed from the UNESCO list of World Heritage Sites. Earlier, UNESCO experts had expressed concern over the reconstruction works have been suspended. Misha has declared that they're starting construction works on airports in Ozurgeti. All right. There will also be an airport in Poti and Tel Aviv, and of course Kutaisi this September.
Ozurgeti has Bakhmaro, though, and there's some
but
sort
Bakhmaro
of.
Bakhmaro is not that close to Ozurgeti, is it?
I don't know. I've never been, but
I think it's closer to Kutaisi. No?
Is it?
Well, it's in Guria, but yeah. It's way up in the mountains, and I don't know. I mean, hey, nothing wrong. Look, if they can build, I think it'll probably be a little bit more like an airstrip, but
right,
you know, why
like
not?
Some guys with their Cessna coming in, or like their, small propeller planes.
Right.
They're not going to build an international airport.
No, nothing wrong with that.
I think that they're also trying to do some regional development of the Bakhmaro area as
Right.
In that area, in Guria is really beautiful. I mean, for those who've not spent a lot of time in Guria, it is a fantastic area. I mean, it really, I think it's cool that they're doing things there. Pegasus Airlines will start flying from Batumi to Istanbul on the 1st of October. Interesting that they would start the 1st of October as opposed to, for example, now, but okay. They said that they will have a big marketing campaign to support 4 flights a week. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that Georgia's foreign trade grew by a quarter in the first 5 months of 2012, year on year. However, trade with Turkey dropped. Archaeologists discovered an ancient burial ground dating back to the 2nd, 3rd century BC in Turngovi village in Samska Javakheti. About 200 tombs were found underneath, and they're still looking around. State budget will spend 1 million lari on the development of Bakhmaro Resort in Guria region, was just mentioned. GHN reports that heavy rains led to floods in Tribuli in Imereti 2 days ago, that evidently streets and some houses had water flowing through them. A group of Google developers in Tbilisi will host an annual and big conference, Google I.O. Extended, as Prime News was told by the Ministry of Economy and Sustainable Development in Georgia. The meeting will be held in the Center of New Technologies with support from the ministry.
What is that? Have you ever heard of this?
I have never heard of that, although it's quite interesting. At the event, there'll be an exhibition of web and mobile apps and games formed by Georgian companies, and individual developers will be sold. There'll be some presentation of a global contest, Google Apps Developers Challenge.
Is there anything beyond what Tbilisi City Hall is doing and maybe, Vano's computer game? I mean, have you ever heard of any Georgian games or applications or anything like that?
I have not really. I mean, there are some okay developers around in town, but I don't know. And this, this sounds like something, I think, a lot of the people that we know, some of the developers in town, I don't know that anybody's heard of this, and it sounds like something being done by the Ministry of Economy. So maybe they're just flying some people over, as a PR stunt, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't seem to necessarily involve the community that's not directly connected to the government. But we can find that out from the ministry. On the 4th of July at 5 p.m., the German Association for International Cooperation, GIZ, is presenting a new book at the German House. What is that, the Goethe Institute?
No, that's at the Saarbrücken Square. It's the house where different German organizations are housed.
Ah,
so
okay.
It's
on Achwediani Street.
Like where the street up to the Tumisha's Palace starts.
Ah, okay.
There's this... very nice house.
They're presenting something called Rewriting a Constitution, Georgia's Shift Towards Europe, end quote. According to the invitation, quote, the book describes the process of the constitutional reform in 2010 and gives insights into the origin of particular constitutional amendments, end quote.
And they just happened to do it on U.S. Independence Day.
Right, on the 4th of July. Yeah. I was here for those constitutional amendments, and as well as the ones on February 6th, 2004, which started the precipitous decline in constitutional respect. Strange spin they're putting on these. I don't know what's. You come from the Teutonic world, Matthias. Can you help us out here?
No. We have in Austria, we have what we call a real constitution. which is, we have the paper constitution that people don't really care about, and then we have the political practice, which is called the real constitution, and, you know, that's the actual power structure that has been protected for 50 years, just like in Georgia now. You know, you have the written constitution, and then you have the actual power structures. And
I wonder which the Germans will be talking about. That should be interesting. We'll have to... We'll have to hear. Anybody heads on over on the 4th of July? Any English speakers on the 4th of July that go to the German house to check out the GIZ situation, let us know how it goes.
Well, did we mention what we went to last week, too, at the German ambassadors? That would be about... they had brought all these young people over to kind of, you know, give them the, you know, how Georgia is so great tour. And they had, you know... It was this youth program.
Well, they do that every summer. There's a thing, university students.
No, these were like young elite people, like young leaders from across the world.
Yuppies.
Young yuppies. Young German yuppies.
No, like not only Germans, Americans, from all over the
Spanish,
place. Transatlantic, Western people.
Transatlantic.
They had dinner with Misha and, you know.
Cool, man. Well, is this the Atlantic Council or something?
Yeah.
Oh, right. This is the PR guy. It was Felix Lissenheim. Okay. All right. Well, great. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Kolga will be showing Beautiful, which I think won an Academy Award for Best Foreign Movie, and is really great. Very, very cool, beautiful drama. Tomorrow, Friday night at 8 p.m. It's Mexico, Spain, 2010, in Spanish with English subtitles. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tpilpod@gmail.com, or post on the forum of our website at www.tpilpod.com.
And we got some great feedback from last week.
We did. There's tons of stuff there. One thing I missed from Sefia Karta, I will email that individual and find out what's going on there and what I missed. We got a clarification from senior individuals formerly associated with the World Bank at a very senior level that said that it was indeed 3.3 percent annualized deflation, and we don't have to worry about
our money becoming worth too much.
But yeah, 40% deflation over this year, which will be good. From currently resident individual who knows Emirates Investment very well, and I quote, "Uptown Tbilisi is the name of Rakeen's development project. I'm almost certain it is the new Tbilisi Mall. Rakim is the Ras Al Khaimah Investment Authority's property development and investment arm," end quote. And from some tool named, and I quote, William, a typical pseudonym of some laborist, quote, "It is my reading of the declaration that Shalva got 60-odd grand in total, 32,000 of which was a bonus. The issue here is who decided he deserved a bonus and why, especially since Targamadze and other MPs who actually do their jobs get far smaller bonuses," end quote. It's a good question. Who decides who gets the bonuses, and why does Shalva get a bonus?
I don't know.
Want to know that. Somebody who is an actual salaried employee at Transparency International Georgia, the hardest working NGO in Tbilisi, needs to tell whoever we've got in Parliament to figure out who decides who gets the bonuses, because that's an important question.
I will apologize for people who don't know my sense of humor, but maybe it's because he did the best in discrediting the opposition.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's the discrediting of the opposition award is a,
there's always John Dee.
There's
a lot of good candidates.
He's got a lot of good candidates there. And we even had a post from His Holiness Ilya II.
Apparently.
And I quote, that was him. It said Ilya II, you know. It said, quote, "Mark, don't forget His Holiness when you mention my name, or we'll set some very frightening bearded men with big hats on you." There's a link if you want to check it out. And we will finish up with Puppy Toy by Tricky, 2009.
Again, we got around. I get a drink. I guess it's always mine.
Can you get me that drink?
Friends, girl, they come and go.
You think you're nice?
But friends, who knows? dance and flow. See, she's
got cash.
She likes that money, boy.
My round. You said.